Nice to have everyone back with us on this Saturday night as we talk some baseball with you on this first day of summer. And boy, it's the first day of summer with no baseball, and who knows what is ahead. We're joined by one of my favorites, and he is one of the voices of baseball, the golden voices of baseball for many, many years. He's a radio broadcaster right now for the Seattle Mariners, and that is Rick Rizz, the Rizzer. Rick, how are you?
I'm fine. Marty, how are you, buddy? Man, I miss the game of baseball, missing friends like you and going out to the ballpark, and I hope we can do that real soon.
Well, we'll find out. You know, things are going to – I say it every Saturday. I say by next Saturday we'll know what's going to happen, and I really think within a couple of weeks things are going to settle down. And again, it's the health of everybody involved. I think that's the bottom line. That will determine it right now. But, yeah, we miss it. First day of summer with no baseball. But for you, just so the fans know a little bit about you, of course, you've been with the Mariners for so many years. Out of Southern Illinois University, and you hit the wall on a bounce at fantasy camp. I was impressed with that.
You remember that, don't you? Yeah, good that hitter. Was a long time ago. Dave Henderson started the Mariners Baseball Fantasy Camp many years ago, and he invited me down there to be one of the coaches to help manage one of the teams. I think we had about five or six teams at the time, Marty, when you were there, and it was a great time. And then on Saturday, you know, the coaches played the campers, and we had a lot of fun, and I just swung hard, and I hit it, and, you know, got a double to left field. So it was that's a lot of fun. Brought back some great memories. Thank you, buddy.
It really was. I enjoy everything we do together. And, of course, when you would come into the Coliseum with the late Dave Niehaus. And let's talk about Dave just for a second.
Sure.
A fabulous man. And he was with the Angels for a number of years. And, of course, first broadcaster for the Seattle Mariners as well. We lost him in the early 90s. Well, let's see. When did Dave pass away?
2010. 10 years ago, yeah.
Yeah. Boy, it's amazing. But talk about Dave Niehaus a little bit and what he meant to you.
Well, plainly put, Marty, he meant everything to me. I spent 8 years in the minor leagues broadcasting minor league baseball and wondering, you know, am I ever going to get to the big leagues? And I send out a resume and tape to a lot of clubs along the way, and you hope and pray that you get a big league job. And then in 1983, it was Dave Niehaus who liked my tape. And so I became one of two finalists for the job, and eventually got it because of Dave Niehaus. And so then I was here for nine seasons, and I went to Detroit in 1992 to try to replace a legend there in Ernie Harwell. That didn't work out after 3 years, and then David got me back here. I called him up right before the Tigers let me go, a week before Christmas in 1994. And he said, Rick, he said, we'll get you back. So how many chances does a guy get like that? So Dave got me here as a young broadcaster in 1983. Then he got me back here and after the 94 season. Thank God that I got back here when I did, because 1995 was the greatest year in the history of the franchise, a season that saved baseball up here in the Pacific Northwest, as you know. But I owe everything to Dave Niehaus. His family became my family. My family became his family. And I owe Dave Niehaus everything.
Boy, I loved him. I loved every time he came into the Bay Area. I always had
him. He was
always
so funny.
Had him on
telling
the show.
Jokes all the time.
Yeah, he had some good sayings, didn't he?
He sure did. Yeah, Grandma, get out the rye bread and mustard. It's grand salami time with the grand slam. And fly away and a home run, and my, oh, my. And he was one of the greatest broadcasters of all time. He won the Hall of Fame in 2008.
Yes.
And that pretty much says it all when you make it to the Hall of Fame. But he
Wonderful.
Was a great person, too.
Wonderful. I'm so glad to remember him a little bit. You have a couple of catchphrases as well. I know we have so many people who listen to the show all over the Northwest and get to hear you, of course, do the games, but can hear you tonight as well. You have a couple of favorites.
Well, yeah, everybody has their signature home run call, you know, and it's got to be unique. And for years I've used Goodbye Baseball and Holy Smokes, you know. You don't want to get too many in your bag, you know. You wear people out. But Goodbye Baseball has worked for many, many years for me. I started that down in the minor leagues, and everybody's got their favorite expression when somebody hits one out of the ballpark for their club. And So, yeah, everybody's got theirs. What's yours? What would yours be?
My goodness. My goodness.
I like that.
Yeah. Yeah. I talk about that and I go, my goodness, I can't believe that happened.
Yeah.
I think that,
holy
that's a
Toledo,
good question.
No, holy cow.
Yeah, no one's ever asked me that before. I think my goodness, holy cow is one that Bill King, I think Bill King used every once in a while.
Harriet Carey was holy cow.
Toledo, yeah.
Yeah. Holy Toledo, Bill King, yeah.
Mm. Boy, those are good ones. That's a good question. No one, I don't think anyone's ever asked me that before, but my goodness is where I'll go with that. Rick Riz is with us, broadcaster for the Seattle Mariners. And a couple of things. One, I got to see you earlier in the week on the MLB Network. Very special show coming up tomorrow night on ESPN about Ken Griffey Jr. as we celebrate his 500th home run. The anniversary will be tomorrow. And, of course, it's Father's Day weekend and the connection with his dad. But you got to see the kid when he first came up. And let's talk about Ken Griffey Jr. and some of your memories of him and how he even made the ball club to start.
Well, Marty, as you know, there's just a handful of players that when you mention their name, you think of the ball club they played for. You know, Babe Ruth with the Yankees, Ted Williams for the Boston Red Sox, Willie Mays for the New York and the San Francisco Giants. Well, Hank Aaron for the Braves, Milwaukee, Atlanta. When you think of the Seattle Mariners, you think of Ken Griffey Jr. Even though he left after 11 years, went to Cincinnati for about 8 or 9, but then thank goodness he came back for his final 2 years. But what I remember about Jr. was, first of all, the athleticism, and then the way that he played the game of baseball. The talent was so obvious that it was off the charts, as you know. When he took the field, he was the best player on the field. I got a chance to see him when he was playing A-ball. We first drafted Jr. in 1987 with the first overall pick in the draft of that year. And thank goodness that they did. Otherwise, we wouldn't be in Seattle. And then when he went to Bellingham, we were broadcasting. The Mariners were in Anaheim. And Ken Brett was our partner at the time. We did a day game on a Sunday afternoon. And Kemmer said, hey, Rick, you know, Bellingham's in Bakersfield. They're playing Bakersfield later on today. Want to drive over there? I said, yeah, sure. We'll go see Junior. So we went over there, and we bought a ticket. We sat on the third base side. And Kemmer and I are sitting there watching. Here comes this lanky 17-year-old kid. I don't know if he turned 18 yet. But he comes up to home plate, and he rips a shot into the gap in left center field. And he went flying around first and the second base like it was nothing to it. I looked at Kemmer, and I go, wow, that was something. We both had a smile on our face. So anyway, you know, he was only in the minor leagues for a couple of years, and he had a great spring in 1989. And as a 19-year-old kid, he made our ball club. And so here he is, 19 years old, in the big leagues. He still looks like a baby. I still call him a kid. Called him a kid. I still do. Now he's 50-something. And first time up against Dave Stewart, his major league debut, top of the first inning, and he drives one into the gap in left center field. There he goes, flying around first and the second base with a double. His first major league hit, a double off of Dave Stewart, and I go, I've seen this before. And it was 2 years before that when I was sitting in a minor league ballpark watching Junior play for Bellingham against Bakersfield, and then he was off and running. Although he went 0-for-17 for the rest of that road trip, the opening road trip of the year, and a few of the guys have had to really comfort him, talk to him, because he was really upset after that double in his first at bat. He was 1-for-17 on the road trip. And thank goodness for Dave Valley, Alvin Davis, and guys like Harold Reynolds who helped Junior, you know, get over that 0-for-17, because we come home to play the Chicago White Sox. First game at home in 1989, and we're playing the White Sox. Eric King is starting for Chicago. Junior's batting second. And here comes Griffey up there, and Junior hits a home run, his first swing ever in the Kingdom, Marty. A home run to left field, left center field. And after that, Junior was off and running. That was his first of 630 home runs. Wow. But to watch him was pure joy. The offense, but especially the defense. That's where I think great players become great players, is what they do defensively. And he was Baryshnikov out there in center field. The catches that he made then it was the joy that he played the game. And that's what really attracted a lot of youngsters, you know, to the game of baseball, that smile that he had on his face and still does. And without Ken Griffey Jr., I can tell you very assuredly that we would not be here without Ken Griffey Jr. and those guys in 1995 that had that put together that great season to save baseball.
Wow. Rick Riz with us. You know, listening to you describe him, and Willie Mays comes to mind. I mean, that's right? That's Willie as a kid.
That's Willie as a kid, because everybody remembers Willie's catch in the 1954 World Series way out there in center field, and the over-the-shoulder catch and the ball hit by Vic Wirt, and he makes a great catch, wheels around, throws the ball in. Junior made that catch a lot of times. It wasn't on the platform or in a venue of like the World Series in 1954. But Junior made that over-the-shoulder catch like it was nothing. I can't tell you how many times he made that catch. But, when I think of Willie Mays, I think of Ken Griffey Jr., and Junior was one of the greatest players. I tell a lot of people he's the best player I've ever seen. Mm. You know, I mean, you had a chance to watch Willie a lot, and I did too. But he was absolutely amazing.
Wow. Have you seen the special that will be on tomorrow night on ESPN? Have you guys seen a copy of it yet?
No, I haven't. I can't wait to see it. I'm not really sure who did it, Major League Baseball, but I can't wait to see it. I was on with Matt Vasgersian and Dan Plesac and Carlos Pena the other day. We were talking about juniors as they were promoting the documentary coming up on Sunday. So, no, I haven't seen it yet, and I can't wait to see it, but I'm sure it's going to be great.
Yeah, is it on ESPN or Major League Baseball?
I think both.
Oh, it is both. Okay. Yeah, because I thought I did see it promoted on ESPN for some reason.
Yeah.
But boy, that's going to be fun. Boy, you've seen some interesting Griffey moments, but you've also seen Ichiro. And look, you broadcast for Lou Piniella. How about that?
Yeah. I've been pretty lucky up here. You know, we had our share of moments. It's been a while since we made the playoffs, but 1995, Lou Piniella was absolutely a magician with that team. He taught that club how to win. They had talent there before he came, but they weren't winning. And then when he got here in 1993, he taught them how to win. And then he, got this ball club back from 13 games out of first place on August the 1st, Marty, and came back and ended up in a tie with the Angels. Mm-hmm. Lou Piniella, you know, pulled all the right strings, pushed all the right buttons. You know, he knew what was going to happen, you know, during the ball game at 3:30 in the afternoon. I would sit in his office getting ready to interview him for the manager show and the pregame show. And John McLaren, his bench coach, would come in and put together the lineup to talk about the game. I said, "Hey, Lou, you want me to leave?" He said, No, man, just stay there. No, you're fine, Rick." And so he put together the lineup, you know, and mixed up the right-handed bats, left-handed bats. And he would tell Mac, "Okay, in the seventh, eighth inning, I can pinch hit for Danny here, and I'll do this. We could pinch right here and bring in Norm here. We'll do this, then that. And I'm thinking, holy cow, this is 3:30 in the afternoon. So during the course of the ball game, all the pieces are just coming together like a puzzle. There are certain guys warming up like he said he was going to bring in. And I look in the dugout, and there's so-and-so with a bat in his hand and getting ready to hit for Danny or whoever at the end of the bottom of the order. And Lou Piniella had that game, every game played out in his mind at 3:30 in the afternoon. Mm. And he was outstanding. Then, of course, Ichiro. I don't know if I've ever seen a guy put the bat on the ball better than he did. The 300 batting average, the 10 consecutive seasons with 200 more hits. Nobody has ever done that. Rose did 10 years, but not in a row of 200 or more hits. Single season hit record, 262. And that beat a record that stood for, oh my gosh, how many years with George Sisler in 1920. And, Ichiro broke that record in 2004, so something like 84 years. But he was amazing to watch. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Ken Griffey Jr., Randy Johnson, Edgar Martinez. We've had some pretty good moments up here, buddy.
Yeah. Oh, but you've seen some great ones. I'll let you go with this. The last story. I love the one Lou Piniella, when he first got to see Ichiro play, and he didn't know if Ichiro could pull the ball.
That's
make great. Me laugh every time I hear this one. Go ahead.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's spring training. Here comes this little guy over from Japan. You know, he started there for the Oryx Blue Wave for 9 years, and we had no idea who this guy was, but he was a superstar and a hero in Japan. And here he is, this thin little guy, wiry and fast and with a great arm. You know, we saw him 2 years earlier when he came to Mariners camp as a guest and took batting practice and took infield. But here he is now, signed with the Mariners as a free agent coming over from Japan. And at spring training that year, the first week or two of the spring, man, he was just fouling balls off on the left field side and over Lou's head, sitting in a folding chair during the course of a ball game at the third base side, and almost knocked him off the chair one time. I think he did one time. But he was constantly hitting the ball to the opposite field every at bat, left field, left center, put the ball in play, got a lot of hits, foul balls to, you know, down the left field line. So anyway, one day, this is like a week or we could have 2 weeks in the spring training, I'm down at the lower field one, which is the main field that they work out on early in the morning. And Lou comes down there and he goes, "Hey, have you seen Ted Hyde?" Ted Hyde is the interpreter for Ichiro. I said, "No." He says, "Somebody go see, get Ted. Somebody get Ted." So Ted comes over and he says, "Hey, get Ichiro." So Ichiro comes down for a little early batting practice, and Lou goes, "Hey, Ichiro, I want to see you pull the ball one time. Just pull the ball one time. You're hitting the ball over here to left field all the time, which now to me is great. I mean, great hitters hit the ball the other way." But he didn't pull the ball the first week of the spring. So he says, "Can you pull the ball one time?" So he took a little batting practice. And that day we're playing the San Diego Padres. First at bat, whammo, he hits a home run to right field. Runs the bases, touches home, comes by the dugout, and gets to Lou, goes, "How's that? Is that good?" And Lou goes, "Okay, fine." But that's what Ichiro did. You know, to get ready for the season, he didn't try pulling the ball at all. You know, his game was hitting the ball to left field, left center field, and get on base. But I'm telling you, as you saw Marty for years, yeah, if you made a mistake middle in, he could turn on it. And he could hit a baseball as far as anybody. If he wanted to, he could probably hit 30, 40 home runs every year. But his job was to get on base, and he was so good at that, hitting the ball the other way. But, he hits the home run to right field and tells Lou, "How's that?" And Lou says, "Fine. Okay. Oh, okay. Fine. All right. You're okay."
The best. Rizzo, you're the best. You are a Hall of Famer.
Marty.
You're
it's
a Hall
Marty.
Of Famer. You're a Hall of Famer. Oh, your day will come. Believe me, it will come.
Oh, that would be unbelievable, but
It's great to have you on, and I know you're part of this program tomorrow night on Ken Griffey Jr., so love having you on, and I can't wait to see you at the ballpark.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to the documentary as well. I can't wait till baseball gets back again. We see all my friends, see you again, buddy, and get back to the game that we love so much, and hopefully they can find a middle ground and get together, and we can get the game back for the fans, because right now our country – it needs us, I think, right now. So I can't wait till baseball comes back.
Without a doubt. All right, Rick, take care. Rick Riz. Thank you, Rick. Take care.
Marty, thank you.
All right, that is the Rizzer, Rick Riz. Boy, no one bet. He's a Hall of Famer. There's no doubt in my mind. More coming up. KNBR 680-1045, the sports leader.